still keep that love in your eyes. I will, darling, say I do. Please tell me for the rest of your life you'll keep that love in your eyes. I knew that you were the one.
I knew that you were the one.
The second that I saw your face. Just begun,
just begun
with someone with such grace. So under heavenly skies.
And that was I Do by Matt Gose.
Was that a Rachel's pick?
Yes.
Yeah, I could kind of.
Yeah, it had a woman's touch.
It was touching, thus a Rachel pick.
Yes. Anyway, but we have a guest in the studio. Who do we have here?
Well, we've got three people here from the USU student-run organic farm. We've got Darren Bingham, Eric Manrique, and Chloe Wardle. They're here representing the farm, and they're going to tell us a little... excuse me, garden. Is it a farm or a garden?
It's a farm.
It's a farm. Oh, yeah. And so it's a whole... I don't know the difference between a farm and a garden anyway, so I guess that's a bad question. It's organic. That's the important part of it.
Yes.
And they grow vegetables. So what
Well, they do.
Thank you, Riley.
What exactly is it that you guys do? What is your organization? Could you explain just a little bit about that, who you are?
Okay. Well, our mission statement is to provide a healthy local alternative to grocery store produce while teaching students and the community about the importance of organic farming systems. The USU Organic Farm accomplishes this through educating students on every step of healthy organic farming systems, as well as we work together with members of our community to cultivate fresh and quality produce.
So it's an actual functioning farm. And what is it a club then?
Yeah, we actually are now a student-wide club. We're operated, ran by only students. The students kind of get to choose what's planted, what's harvested. It's about an acre plot, and we have a bunch of students that are involved.
So how did this all start, I guess?
In 2008, two professors, Dr. Jennifer Reeve and Dr. Dan Drost,
I'm assuming they're agricultural professors.
Yeah, they're in the plants, soils, and climate department.
Gotcha.
In the agriculture college. But so them and about 30 other students just really wanted a hands-on opportunity for students to really see what farming was like. I myself personally come from Sandy, Utah, which is all urban development. Yeah, I had never been on a farm
in
before.
Sandy.
Yeah, so it was a really cool opportunity. Like
too much sand, right?
Exactly, a lot of sand.
But,
So they got the idea together. I think a school in Oregon was doing it, and they loved the idea. And
wait, so
began.
Is this not a very typical thing for a university to have a student-run plot of land?
I don't think so. It's a growing idea, but it's really a new idea, kind of with the local food movement and stuff like that, just in the past 5 years.
Well, it certainly sounds like a good idea. Like, I'm totally behind this, and I think it's cool that students can get involved hands-on. What opportunities do you provide for students?
Well, there's quite a few. Well, first of all, I'm a manager of the farm, so I work directly learning management properties. It's great.
Are you an agriculture major? Are you plant science?
I'm soil science major.
Soil science major.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so it fits right into where my interests are. But I've had an internship. Chloe had an internship as well. So where we get paid over the summer to actually continue and make the farm work throughout the year. There's tons of volunteer opportunities where you can learn actually hands-on stuff with no stress of anything. Really relaxed environment. Of course, all the fresh produce. You should have seen what I was taking home every week. It was really nice to have all that
Perks.
Food. And then it's really, really focused on community involvement. So we connect with the community, and we actually have a CSA or a community supported agriculture. So
CSA. Now, explain a little bit more about that.
So our community supported agriculture is a program that members of the community help to invest into a local farm. That farm then gives shares to those members. We run about 50 full shares. 55, I apologize. It's actually like pretty impressive the amount of shares we actually sell for a one-acre plot. I think it's probably one of the better ones you'd see around.
So a community share, that's a family or a group gets together.
Anybody.
And they can
you and your
plant
roommate,
on that round.
Me, you know, your grandma, you buy, you know, weekly produce. We'll give you a basket of more than enough food for a family. And it runs about 15 to 20 bucks a week. And you're getting all kinds of fresh stuff from local produce.
And this is all organic produce. Now, what is that? It's kind of like been a thing the past 5-10 years to go organic and to... What exactly does that entail?
Yeah, so there's usually kind of misconceptions about organic, but to label your produce as organic, you kind of have to follow rules and regulations set by the USDA. And the USDA's definition is organic agriculture produces products using methods that preserve the environment and avoid most synthetic materials such as pesticides and antibiotics. So that means if we're going to use any kind of materials, they need to be certified by OMRI, and that's a company that goes through and certifies any pesticides, insecticides, but it's really not going to focus on using that nasty stuff that kind of stays in the soil and leaches off that you hear is causing so many problems.
Let me ask you the most important question. Does that affect taste? Have you noticed that organic food tastes better, or?
I think the biggest reason it affects taste is because our farm, we're harvesting it right when it's at the peak freshness and ripeness, whereas in the store, I'm sure you've seen right now, the Roma tomatoes are green because they have to pick them when they're green and then ship them here from California, and they're pumping them with ethylene gas to make them ripen. So it's definitely a better taste because you get it right at that ripeness when it's so fresh.
So what do you grow then at your farm? Here on campus, what are the main crops and stuff?
I guess everything that is grown on the farm that we grow is kind of climate dependent. So being as that we're in the Northwest, we have to go with the spring, cool season crops, like the greens, like lettuces, spinaches, peas, and beans, stuff like that. Of course, in the summertime and in the fall, we have lots of tomatoes and corn, especially we have a big section where we're devoted to corn and, you know, the cucurbits like pumpkins and squash and that kind of fun stuff. But we do bring in a huge variety of other stuff, and we also have fruits like berries that are native, like raspberries, strawberries during June. And
do you guys, I don't know if anyone else like that, rhubarb?
We do have a rhubarb plant, but unfortunately it got some disease. So
I know that goes.
It's not
I
doing
actually
very
grew
well.
Rhubarb in my house, so.
Rhubarb seems so resilient, you know?
Well, the way, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be wrong, but you just split the plant in half, and then you got a new plant. Obviously, you got to make sure it's healthy enough. And so that's a good thing. It's like you make friends out of neighbors. Give them a rhubarb plant.
two for the price of one, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. And something I was wanting to say, the taste difference. The question is, do you like a white tomato or do you like a red tomato when you get the inside? Personally, I like the red. Yeah, white tastes like sand and chalkiness. I don't know if you had a Wendy's burger or seen those.
Oh, yeah.
Or McDonald's. No pun intended, I guess.
So community outreach is a big deal. Student outreach is a big deal. You offer a lot of volunteer opportunities, education, stuff like that. What major events do you have? Are there events where the community students can get involved?
During the summer and fall, we have a student campus stand. We're just right across from the TSC by the patio. We're just selling fresh produce, so come get your grub on. We also have the You Pick Strawberries in June and July, so you can pick your own strawberries, get to know us as volunteers, as well as get to know the soil a little bit better. And then our main money making, I guess, kind of thing we do is a pumpkin days in October.
I remember pumpkin days.
You go pick a pumpkin, best pumpkin patch. You can actually eat the pumpkin after you pick it because it's healthy, it's good for you.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of just reducing waste, I would say.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And one last thing, when it comes to our products, we have a lot of culinary and flowers, a lot of medicinal herbs and culinary herbs that we're going to have a lot of this year. So students that are interested in that kind of thing, come down. We'll have plenty, to share. I'm in charge of that. I think we have close to 25 different, you know, herbs that we're going to be rolling through this season.
Excellent. How did you guys get involved with the club, or started with the club?
Chloe, you want to start with that one?
Yeah, so I've been involved with the Student Organic Farm for about 2.5 years now. It kind of started one fall. I was really wanted to volunteer with some organization, and I saw the poster on a bulletin board in the College of Natural Resources and just showed up, and I kind of just fell in love with it. And then I found out that they had internship opportunities, so there's the actual on-farm internships, and then there's also outreach internships. So I've done an outreach and an on-farm internship and just haven't left yet.
What about you, Eric? That's what it was. Eric.
Well, for me, it's probably almost the same. I kind of grew up with a farming background, so I had a little bit of that growing up. Small farm, of course. So when I got into college and decided soil science was my thing, I was looking at the different classes. I saw an organic class, and I got into the class, and it just went from there. There was lots of volunteer hands-on practicum work that we were doing, and it was just amazing to be able to have the opportunity to progress and to succeed in something, and to be offered management opportunities and learn how to actually like run your own thing. And so I just took charge. I was gonna say
you're managing the farm now, right?
Yep, I'm actually the CSA manager. There's two of us. Nate, he's not here today, but he runs all the production aspect of the whole farm, and I'm doing the management, money, budgeting, that sort of thing. So it's quite the learning experience, and it goes along with a lot of the other things I'm interested in as well.
Right on. And Darren?
I'm a transfer student, and like food, like to eat healthy, I guess, and found out there was an organic farm on campus and that I could volunteer and then get produce. I think it's an awesome thing, and that's why I'm sticking to it. It's an awesome opportunity to learn how to run your own farm, do your own back garden. That's mainly what I'm involved in, or at least that's what I'd like to do, is backyard gardening. Everyone, you know, needs to have their own garden. It's the best way to, you know, help the world, help world hunger and food waste, is by having your own garden, so you can see firsthand, you know, what you're eating, what you're not, and then you can go by that.
Well, I think it's a great idea, because how poorly do we eat as college students? Just awful.
Yeah.
Ramen every single night. That's right.
Yeah.
Doritos and ramen.
Now, do you grow ramen noodle on the farm?
No, we don't. Sadly, I think they grow that in China.
You should check it out.
But how cool is it that we have an opportunity to like get access to organic, healthy products and education as well, and opportunities to help and become involved in that. So if students want to become involved, what can they do?
We have a lot of ways to reach us. So we're on Facebook, so USU Student Organic Farm. We're also on Blogger, that's ususof.blogspot.com. A really great thing is you can get information about the CSA, volunteer opportunities. We also have some growing cards that some of our interns made, so if you're going to have your own garden, lots of little cards that tell you how to plant your seed, how much to water it, what varieties work best in Cache Valley. We're also on Twitter at USU, so at USUSOF. We also have a website that's linked to usu.edu/organicfarms, or you can even email us to see when we have volunteer opportunities for you at organicfarm@agemail.usu.edu.
And where's the farm itself located?
In the summer, we allow volunteers to show up anytime, so we're just on 1750 North and 800 East in Logan. So if you know where Oak Ridge and the teaching greenhouses are, if you just go north of that, and then we'll just be on your right after a couple blocks.
Great.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks so much for that. Normally with our guests, we play a little game. So we'll play a song here, and then if you want to stick around, we'll have a little quiz, if that's okay.
Okay. And for listeners, don't worry. This song was not picked by Rachel.
You guys are the worst.
No, we only kid because we care. If we stop doing that, then you're dead to us. So watch that. Anyway, this was picked by me. It's Why Do You Let Me Stay Here by She and Him. It's from their album Volume 1.
She and Him, that's
Zooey Deschanel. Don't love her acting. I do like to listen to her sing.
Do you think she's quirky or like crazy? Like certifiable?
I think, I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't enjoy being around her. Anyway, here we go.
She's perfect.
Really? That's your definition of perfect?
Yes.
That's the banner you're going to...
You're kind of quirky though, Rachel, so.
No.
You flirt with that line quite a bit.
Yep. Okay, here we go.
Okay, that was She and Him with a song. I don't know. What's the title?
It's called Why Do You Let Me Stay Here from Volume 1.
It was
check it out.
Cute.
Yeah, it was quirky.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the quiz, do you guys eat organic? Like, are most of your vegetables and stuff that you eat organic?
Yes.
Okay, because I was just about to say, like, I think these are, like, the three people with the shiniest hair I've ever seen. They just
right. They do have
yeah,
shiny.
Just really
it's
healthy. Every single one of them.
They have a healthy coat.
Yeah. Good fingernails.
Can I see your fingernails too? Oh yeah, those are nice.
Oh, look at his nail bed. Oh my gosh.
There's still dirt under the nails. There's still dirt under the nails.
Okay.
Let's see if the organic food helps them be smart as well in our weekly quiz.
Right.
You got the music ready, Rye?
Yeah, I do. And just a little bit of our quiz. It's always a little off kilter. So this week, it's about the book, The Secret Garden, because a lot of people don't know about the organic garden. It's kind of a secret garden.
Yeah. Amen.
Anyway, here's our intro music.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble! Y'all ready for this?
All righty, guys. So on the line here is our respect. If you get 2 out of 3 questions right, wow, then you win the quiz and you earn our respect. But if you don't, then we hate
you.
We'll
disrespect you.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
We might come smash those pumpkins.
All the pumpkins. So the way that it'll work is obviously there's 3 of you. So you may come to a general consensus on an answer. You may consult with each other before giving us your final answer.
Mm-hmm.
So for question number 1. In the book, The Secret Garden, in one of Misselthwaite's many rooms, Mary finds a portrait of a girl who resembles herself. The girl is holding a single rose, B, a white kitten, C, a green parrot, or D, a leather-bound book? You may consult.
That's what I'm thinking, but since it's a garden and I think it could go back to the past, I'd say rose, but it's a tough one.
Final answer?
How long do we have on each question? Because, like, we might Wikipedia this. Is that all right? Are we allowed
no,
to use outside
there is
sources?
No, you may only use
can
the sources
can we knock
of
on the window
the
and get a student
you?
In here to help us?
No. You may actually okay. not. They can't really hear you anyway, unless you're speaking into the microphone, but that's not allowed.
Come
you
help anyone with a secret garden that
you
knows.
You must use your own wit and knowledge to answer this question. Actually, you need to have it answered within the next 30 seconds or else I'm going to move on and you'll lose my respect.
Yep. We will go with rose since it's a garden and a rose comes from a garden, I guess.
Well, that was a very sad guess. The correct answer was actually C, a green parrot.
Oh. Is she a pirate?
No.
No. I don't know what she is. I tried to read that book several times, but it didn't work.
Well, we still have a chance, right?
Yes, you still have a chance. You have to get the next two questions right in order to earn our respect. Number two, The Secret Garden was first published in A, 1921, B, 1847, C, 1909, or D, 1983.
What were the dates again?
You've got.
The last
two. Yeah, it's not the last two.
I'll try this in chronological order.
Perfect.
You've got.
Perfect.
1847, 1909, 1921. Or 1983.
1909. That's
okay.
What I'm going with.
I think it's that old. Okay.
Yeah.
1909. Oh. I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that.
Well, guys, it was actually 1983.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So pretty recent.
Yeah. That's surprising.
Well, let's see. Maybe you can earn half of our respect with this next question.
We'll be indifferent towards you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
indifferent.
All we need.
Thank but
you.
If you get no
maybe
questions right, then we hate you.
We will persecute you.
You should make
you.
Up we'll like a couple more questions for us.
I've actually never read the book The Secret Garden, so I couldn't do that. But number three, Dickon is constantly accompanied by a menagerie of animals. These do not include, so the one that's not in the menagerie,
I always have a menagerie
a biting
me.
Hawk, B, a newborn lamb, C, a red fox cub, or A, or D, a poor, a what? A
bad question,
pony.
Throw it out. Bad question.
It's a bad presenter. So one more time, we've got a fighting hawk, a newborn lamb, a red fox cub, or a moor pony. And it's whatever one is not in the menagerie.
So the pony will ride on the lamb.
I like that word, menagerie.
Mm-hmm. For English majors, go read The Glass Menagerie. Kind of sad.
There's a song at my work that uses the word menagerie.
You think
no, I can't remember.
It.
I'm having a hard time.
You've got
a,
I know a hawk,
I'm
a
really
lamb,
trying.
A fox, or
no,
a pony.
No, because he rides his pony.
Yeah, it's
right?
A moor pony.
There's like
not
a lamb.
No, a moor pony.
I don't know what the difference is.
I don't
take
either.
That into factor.
Cody, what's a moor pony? Okay, I can read
so
your lips.
Let's go with the hawk.
Let's go with the hawk. The hawk. I feel like the fox is in a garden. So yeah, I think the hawk.
Hawk.
Hawk maybe. Is your final answer? Yes.
I got
no,
it.
For none of the marbles.
Well, we hate you all. Thank you for coming on
Thank
our show
you.
Tonight.
No, but, you know, check out the organic farm. You said the best way is Facebook?
Yeah, USU Student Organic Farm.
Wonderful! Yeah.
I'm sure
Facebook's
if you Googled USU
thing.
Organic Farm, that's
yeah.
the first
We're the only one that shows up.
Oh, good!
USU website. It's right
oh, it's there?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Check that out. Next time, before you do homework, check that out. And we will post like a link on
okay.
our Facebook page.
What was the final answer on the last one? Since
so, it was
fox.
Actually a red fox cub.
Yep.
We don't actually hate you guys. We just hated your performance on this quiz. But we are very grateful that you came.
Rachel doesn't express
that. Who made up the questions is my question.
Did you make up the questions, Riley? Riley made up the questions.
Did you Google just random Secret Garden questions? Or are these off the
no,
top of your head?
No, I know the Secret Garden pretty well.
You
it's
are
a good book.
I don't know how to feel about
check
that.
It out. It's pretty sweet, guys.
Well, we're the key to our garden, so come on over.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. That was good.
And, maybe your garden won't be so secret, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll check you out.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Have a wonderful night,
rhubarb,
guys.
Thank you, guys.
Rhubarb's
delicious. Okay, what is that, Riley? Do you see? Oh, my goodness. It's Utah State's favorite Italian.
Yeah.
Andy Perucci.
Hey, it's Luigi's cousin.
Molto bene.
You're my favorite person to have visit.
Hi.
Cody's back in the studio, too, but we don't really care.
Yeah, he's chopped liver. But here is the intro to Andy.
Hey, you like a pizza? You like a pasta? You like a politics? Andy's gonna tell you about it. Here we go.
Andy, I have a question for you.
What's up?
I keep getting halted and stopped and harassed. Okay, not harassed, basically yes, accosted is a great word, by these people who want me to count my vote. What the crap do they want me to do?
So, you know, it's interesting. In Utah, we have what's called the caucus system.
Can you say that on air?
You can, yes. That is not a bad word. Let me explain.
Isn't it spelled C-A-U-C-A-S?
C-A-U-C-U-S.
I was so close.
The caucuses, a lot of states, they have primaries to elect, to select the candidates for the general election. In Utah, we have what's called the caucus system, where people in their neighborhoods, every neighborhood or every city is broken up into precincts. And everybody goes together with their neighborhood to a meeting. It's called the caucus night, where delegates are selected to meet the candidates and to go to a convention and select or to vote for the candidate that they would like to represent their party. It's a great opportunity for people to talk to their neighbors about who's running for office and talk about the issues that matter.
So that's the current
system. That's the current system, yes.
Mm-hmm. Town hall, right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone stand in this corner if you want this candidate. Now stand in this corner if you want this candidate. And then everyone just stands up and starts, like, yelling at each other. Don't you have to have the one consensus at every single precinct?
No. So the precinct meetings, this is where the delegates are selected. So actually here in Logan, for those who are living in this area, the caucus meeting is going to be held at Mount Logan Middle School on March 20th. It's a Thursday night.
And anybody
who's a registered in this, a registered Republican in this area, and registered Democrats, they have caucus night as well.
It's an open caucus, yes. Anyone can go to a Democratic caucus.
And so everybody who's registered in this area goes to the caucus night. And if you want to run as a delegate, you can. And they give the people that are interested in running an opportunity to stand up and to introduce themselves and explain why they should be a delegate, and then the people within their precinct vote and select delegates. And it's based upon population, so some precincts that have more people select more delegates. And so it's just like voting. You just sit there and you vote for the people that you want to select or to represent your neighborhood for the primary.
And then those delegates, what are they?
Those delegates then go to a convention. Usually it takes place in late April. But in between that time, the delegates meet with the candidates and the candidates' campaigns and ask them questions. So you can talk to your delegate and tell them what's important to you, and they go and talk to these candidates and basically vet them to make sure that they would be a good representative, a good senator, a good governor, a good state rep, and so on and so forth. And then they go to the convention in late April, where for the statewide convention, delegates from all across the state, there's 4,000 delegates, come together and they vote for the candidates that they would like to represent the party in the general election.
So how does Count My Vote change that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's a good question.
Why do they want to change the system that we have?
Some tough questions for you, Andy.
So I can tell you my perspective on this. Count My Vote, what they would like to do first off, how they would like to change the system, is they would like to do away with the caucus system and the convention system and go to a direct primary where everybody who would like to run for office has to get signatures from a certain amount of the people who voted in the previous election from their party. And then all voters who are registered in that party will vote for the candidates on the ballot. It would basically be a general election with a lot more candidates just for that party, basically.
So basically, in the old system, you go to a meeting, you meet with your delegate,
uh-huh.
and then that delegate meets with
the candidates. Yeah, so there's a lot.
It kind of skips the delegate.
Completely skips the delegate and the candidate. Most of the interactions with the candidate and the populace is through television advertisements, radio advertisements, mass media. So the people that are pushing Count My Vote say that they do that. They're doing this because they want, because Utah has a relatively low voter turnout.
Other states, if I'm not correct, have done the same thing, right?
Gone over to a direct primary?
Yeah.
There's a lot of different states that have a lot of different systems. Everything from open primaries in California to caucuses like Utah, and there's a handful of other states that do this.
Like Nevada.
Mm-hmm, Nevada does it. And Utah's is a little bit more organized than Nevada's. But the people that are pushing Count My Vote say that they're hoping to increase voter turnout through this. I think that there's a logical fallacy there, though. I don't think the problem is the way that we do our selecting our candidates through the parties. It's that Utah is a one-party state. The Republican Party has a supermajority in the state of Utah. And you look at other states that are similar states with one party, and people just don't turn out to vote. For instance, Hawaii. It's a Democrat state. It's obviously a one-party state, and they have low voter turnout. Utah isn't the lowest in the country, and it's not the highest. It's actually in the middle of the states that have one party control of the state. And so that's I take issue with Count My Vote, because they say that they want to increase voter turnout, but it shows in other states that that's not going to make a difference. Also, Count My Vote is funded by a few extremely wealthy elites in the state of Utah.
Interesting. Now, that's what I was going to ask you. Could Count My Vote potentially benefit a party other than the Republican Party? Does it give more power, say, to the Democratic Party?
Count My Vote gives more power to those who get paid to run campaigns, and it gives more power to the media that gets paid to run advertisements, and it gives more power to those who have more money and name recognition throughout the state.
So if I follow the logic, it's
follow it.
Instead of campaigning to a very specific group of people that represents a larger group,
mm-hmm.
they're now directly campaigning to the people, which means it's all about name recognition.
Correct? Yeah,
it's more about campaigning to a population rather than a community.
Well, and I would say it's more about trying to get your name out there, and more about, you know, just making people remember who you are, so when it comes to election day, they can check your box rather than the other guys.
Now, Andy, I've heard let me be the devil's advocate.
Devil,
come over here. No, but I've heard that sometimes the current caucus system can be abused, and that's how we end up with people like Mike Lee in office.
Mike Lee actually won because of a primary. He lost in the convention to Tim Bridgewater and won in a primary throughout the state of Utah. So those who pushed...
Because of name recognition.
Because of name recognition. Exactly. Like his father worked for the...
He was willing to be a patsy for the Republican Party.
Well, for the Tea
I won't
Party.
Say that. But for those that want to push that, like it frustrates me because Mike Lee did not win because of the conventions. He won because of a primary. Also, I wish that students would ask the people asking them to sign the petition questions. I've talked to most of the people that are pushing it on the students, and they don't know what they're doing. A lot of them actually aren't even from Utah. They get paid to travel state by state to get people to sign petitions for ballot initiatives. Others are students here in the Valley that they don't really understand what it is, but they're getting paid to do it. A lot of them have even admitted that to me, that they don't necessarily completely agree
and
with
how
it,
do
but
we,
it's
how
a job.
How do I get a gig like that?
I don't know. You wouldn't want to talk to me, but I would encourage everybody to go to the caucuses and see for yourself.
Yeah, what's your advice for the students, I guess? Like, how should we be reacting to this? Because students don't even think about it. They just go and sign.
They
I want my vote to count.
And I understand why, because it's a great soundbite. Like, I've got to give Count My Vote props. They are professional political people that understand what motivates people to act. It's easy to say, hey, I want my vote to count, and to not really go any deeper than that. And it makes a lot of people feel like they're becoming involved when they put their name to a petition. And I think I would encourage students to take it one step further and to research before they sign this petition. Mm-hmm. Because what's going on right now is Count My Vote needs to get 102,000 signatures across the state. And there's a certain threshold by Senate districts. They need to meet that threshold in 26 out of the 29 Senate districts in the state. And they have to meet this threshold by March 15th. And then from March 15th to April 15th, the county clerks have to verify that every single person that signed the petition is registered to vote where they signed it. And so I just would encourage students to first really think about what they're doing and research it before they put their name to that, because this can completely alter the way that this state is run and completely change our lives for the worse or the better, depending on how you view it. And I would also encourage students to go out to caucus night and to participate. Actually, the Cache County Republican Party is looking for 3 or 4 students to be precinct chairs, so to run the caucus for their precinct, which would be a really great experience and opportunity to try something new.
So are you telling me that the Count My Vote people are going to be on our campus until March 15th?
They are, and the reason is actually because the USA, it's the like student... The student government presidents throughout the state and public universities, they endorsed Count My Vote. And I respect Doug Fiafia a lot. I really think he's done a great job as our student body president. But this is the one issue that I disagree with him on. I think that the student government should not have become involved in this. We should have stayed neutral because, you know, either way, somebody's going to lose, and it's going to make people frustrated. And
can
all
you
of
say
the people
that about that, anything?
Yes, but all the people that are elected right now were elected through the caucus convention system, not Count My Vote. And I feel that by taking a side in this, student government has really put the schools in a sticky situation.
Now, again, Andy, I don't want you... I want to put you on your toes,
do
okay?
It. Go
Some
ahead.
People say the caucus system was originally established because back in the day you couldn't get a vote from everyone, you know, computers and farms and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Would some say that, you know, we've outgrown that as a nation with modern technology?
So Utah actually tried the direct primary system in the 1930s and 40s, and they went back to the caucus system.
Now, I do say again, modern technology.
I definitely understand that, but I'm saying
they didn't even have like TVs back then.
No, they didn't. But I think that this is not the general election. This is how parties select their candidates to run in the general election.
And I might be able to act as a moderator here. I think the main issue is that students don't know what they're signing.
No, they're just putting their
name
down.
Oh, I agree.
Maybe some students do think that it's a good idea. Maybe I think more of them probably.
Well, I think what we can both agree on is be educated.
Be educated, yeah.
And if you don't want them to bug, you just say, I already signed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whether that's true or not.
This little white lie will not
condemn
you.
Caucasian lie.
So yeah, do you have anything else to say, Andy? Because I have one more question for you.
I would just again reiterate, become educated on the issue. Don't sign unless you understand what you're signing.
I actually have one question after.
And I would also really encourage you to come out to caucus night and see for yourself. Participate and make your voice actually heard.
And that's on
what
March
are the dates?
20th?
It's March 20th. It's at Mount Logan Middle School. Yeah, for the Republican Party.
And the other party?
I'm not sure about the Democrat caucus night. They haven't gotten back to us.
What about nonpartisan people? Can we go to anything?
Your vote doesn't count
ever. You can
go
to the Democratic primary.
Because these are the parties that are selecting candidates. And so you can choose a side or you can you just participate in the general election as well.
Or as my brother would say, nothing you do matters.
Okay, now I'm making ravioli and I stuff it, but I think I might be overstuffing it because every time I go to actually cook the ravioli...
Uh-huh.
The meat and cheese spills out the side. What's going on?
Well, you are overstuffing it, so make sure that when you pack the ravioli, get a little bit less in there, and then it'll be primo. It'll be primavera. Also, I forgot to mention, next Friday, February 21st at 7 p.m. at the Riverwoods Conference Center is the Cache County Lincoln Dinner. The new Attorney General the new Attorney General Sean Reyes will be speaking, as well as Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox, Congressman Rob Bishop.
Lieutenant Governor.
Funny. Yeah, he is. He's hilarious. Senator Lee is going to also be in attendance, and then they're going to have a special keynote speaker. His name is Brian Andreessen, I believe. He's the former curator of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library.
Oh, wow.
And there's going to be a cool Lincoln memorabilia setup as
you
well.
You say former. Did he leave in disgrace?
No, he's now working for the Church History Museum in Salt Lake City. But it's a cool event if you can come out. Students actually get discounted tickets, so it's a $25 price. The meal itself costs $20, and
it's
gourmet.
It's at the Riverwoods Conference Center.
Yeah,
it'd be a nice
it's meal. Cool. There's tons of different legislators and elected officials and everybody that's involved. So come on out and have some fun.
I want to meet Spencer Cox in person.
Thank you so much, Andy.
Go.
And next time, I have some questions about spinach versus flour pasta.
Okay, sounds good.
And you can find out more about Andy by just going up and talking to him.
Or reading the paper. He usually writes an article.
I think just talk to him. He's a friendly guy. Anyway, next song is by The Format. It's called Inches and Falling from the album Dog Problems.
Did I talk too much?
Love, I love being in love. I don't care what it does to me.
Take these tattered boxes that used to hold you close, break them down, build them back up with your bones. Now all you do is construct a mess. You're good to me when only flesh, your memory with nothing to show.
Okay, so that's by The Format.
What did you think of the song? You'd never heard it before, right?
I actually realized I had heard it before, but I hadn't listened to the whole thing. It's so cute.
That was my pick.
I just wish the main guy didn't have such a horrible voice.
Forget about it, Riley.
See, I like his voice.
So do I. It's
which is
unique.
Weird because I normally don't like high pitch.
I'm gonna talk like this.
No. He
hey,
doesn't,
Cody.
He doesn't force
How
it.
You
that's
doing?
Just what his singing
yeah.
voice sounds like.
Is
I
it?
Love band.
That doesn't make it yeah. good. I like Bob Dylan, but I wish someone else would sing his songs.
Riley, I just think you dislike anything that people like. It's
yeah.
like, oh, everybody
Except
likes
count
this.
My
I
boat.
Don't.
What about
like
I love
Riley
Lady Gaga.
Too.
I love Kesha. And I even love superhero stuff. Three things. Point disproved. Anyway, you have the news, right?
Yeah, so.
Here we go. News by Rachel Hilton. Come, listen to it, have a good time, and learn. That's it.
Alrighty, so this week, Tennessee has just been having a really rough week. A wife of a Tennessee lawyer died 2 days after a package bomb exploded in their home.
Whoa.
So they had received this package in the mail, and her husband had brought it in, and he opened it inside the house. And he died upon impact. The explosion killed him. But his wife went to the hospital right afterwards. She had been suffering from some different wounds and things like that as a result of this accident. But she has died 2 days later. And so the mailbox was about 200 yards from their house. But it detonated just inside the house. And so she was critically wounded. And no one really knew where it came from. No
yeah,
one really knew why they
it,
were
but it was a
targeted.
Lawyer?
Yeah, it was a lawyer. But the thing was, he was just kind of, he was like a financial lawyer. He wasn't any form of like great
no,
defense attorney.
No, nothing too controversial.
Like yeah.
Sounds like Tennessee's the new Florida.
Seriously, though. Tennessee, you get the Florida Award for the week. It's a rough time. Alrighty.
Florida Award.
In other news, retail sales are really struggling in the middle of the first quarter here, which is to be expected. I work retail myself, but and I can tell you that the months of January and February are really rough, and it's very difficult to get customers to come in. And the reason that they're finding is just that it is cold outside and people don't want to leave their houses. And I don't know about you guys, I feel a lot more confident when the sun is out, and when I feel confident, I want to go shopping. When I'm not feeling confident, I don't want to go shopping.
Well, we're men, so we rarely go shopping. We just use Amazon.
Yep. I do all of my shopping online.
Honestly, that's how I do. But you work at Old Navy, right?
I do.
You're part of the Navy.
Oh, the old
Admiral part. Rachel Hilton.
Yeah, Admiral Rachel Hilton.
Yes.
As far as men's pants, how's it looking over there?
Let's see. We run sizes from a 28-30 all the way to a 42-30.
They say that, but I bought a pair of slim fit jeans in my size, and they were
huge. I was looking
huge.
More like, are there
okay.
any...
Well, our pants run a little bit big
it
for men.
It
would have
been nice to know.
So what, like adjust two sizes up?
Just one, usually.
Okay.
And also depends on how tight you like your
any
pants.
Any good sales?
I like
good
them
sales.
Tight.
Well, right now we have our kids and baby sale going on.
Oh, perfect.
Not interesting. Any more stories, Rachel?
Well, let's see. What else do I have for you?
I have
you?
One while she's looking.
Oh, Cody. Yeah, Cody the body Scott.
How about this one? The Utah Senate has unanimously agreed on something.
Oh.
What?
For the first time in...
Like every single hand raised agreed.
That's what it means.
26 people in the Utah State Senate voted on one thing. Do you know what it was?
Probably...
Freedom Fries.
Changing the state tree from the Colorado blue spruce to the quaking aspen.
About
oh,
time.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I say quake that aspen. Quake that aspen.
Hashtag quake that aspen. Yeah, interesting. The main thing was, well, this is the cool part of it. Very grassroots movement. The change was pushed by a fourth grade class at Monroe Elementary School in Sevier County who argued that the aspen was a better representation of Utah. Students told lawmakers the aspen had a strong root system akin to the state's cultural emphasis on family history and genealogy.
I'm
against it now. Monroe Republican Senator Ralph Okerlund sponsored the legislation. He says the quaking aspen
and
is more prevalent in Utah.
It is.
And it can
well,
be found
considering
throughout the state.
Our state tree was a Colorado thing.
Yeah,
Colorado
that was my spruce. First reaction.
But what's our state bird?
Seagull.
The seagull.
Wrong. The California seagull.
Okay. How many other types? You know what? Semantics. And that is our piece of fluff news that... It's they say, hey, we did something. I'm like, well, what about the stuff that matters? Nope. Anyway, any more stories or?
Just know that there has been a fear over global outbreaks in diseases, specifically infectious diseases, mostly because there's not a lot of other kinds of diseases. But over 27 countries have come in to form a pact to strive to educate themselves on these diseases, to do everything in their power to prevent. And this included a lot of big name countries, including like China, the United States, things like that.
And
so
I would say get vaccinated. There's a lot of people who are against vaccination.
Get vaccinated.
They don't know how science works, so
no.
Don't listen to them.
Yep.
They probably are big fans of Sarah Palin. So that's a red flag right there.
Speaking of unintelligent people, did you hear the study that came out that ranks Utah in the top 10 for AP test scores?
Hey!
I believe it.
Number 7, we tied with New York.
And you know what probably is the best high school with AP test scores?
What?
Davis High.
Yep. I guarantee you it is. We're best in the nation. Maryland was the top state. Do you know what the lowest is? Just take a guess.
Mississippi.
You both got it right.
What up?
I'm even kidding. Oh.
Hey guys, Cody
was
just excluded
50.
From another studio fist bump.
Yep. Okay. And I have our movie of the week. Now, we are in a cultural wasteland, and we're also in a media wasteland as well. Not a lot of stuff coming out. February sucks. So, we do have RoboCop. It's a remake. It looks a little more action-y, and they're trying to, you know, make it better. Here's the trailer.
What if I told you that even the worst neighborhood in America could be made completely safe? How do I know this? Because it's happening right now in every country in the world but this one. It is great to see American machines helping to promote peace abroad. So then tell me, why can't we use these machines here at home? Why is America so robophobic?
We need to give Americans a product they can love, a figure they can rally behind.
We can't put a machine on the street.
Forget machines. They want a product with a conscience. Something that knows what it feels like to be human.
I'll give your mom a kiss.
My baby.
Too slow, boy.
We're gonna put a man inside a machine.
Time to wake him up.
Make him more tactical. Let's go with black.
Quality control, EM-208 versus Tin Man.
Wow. We are going to make a lot of money.
So RoboCop sounds pretty cool, and yeah. We talked about that Sam L. Jackson is in there. And then just quickly, here's my other just suggestions. I have great movie taste, and taste in everything. So Hulu, Castle, check it out. Nathan Fillion's in that. Very well rated. It's in its fourth season. So if you like dramas such as Bones or something like that, you will really like Castle.
It's pretty good. He's an author in the show that just kind of works with the police department. Like, he's a John Grisham type novelist.
Yeah. Almost like Sherlock Holmes. Like, he's a consulting detective.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
We talked about Sherlock last week. I'm rewatching that. Still watch that.
Great. Great
show. Redbox, Ender's Game just came out. I wouldn't see it in theaters, but for $1.20, it's pretty cool, and you got some cool scenes in it.
Yep.
Ooh.
And then Netflix, this is an oldie, Stargate. Started a whole show, but the original's pretty good, and it has MacGyver in it.
Also, if you want a movie with no dialogue, and you remember Gravity, how people kind of thought Gravity would be just about Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Like floating around in space. All Is Lost is just about Robert Redford on a boat.
Interesting. That's
the entire movie. That came out this Tuesday, so you might want to check out that, too.
Yeah, definitely. Also, just real quick, celebrity birthdays. Today, Jerry Springer.
Woo!
Tomorrow, Simon Pegg. He's from Shaun of the Dead, and he is in the new Mission Impossible. Saturday, Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Sunday, relax with a little iced tea, and then say it's happy birthday, because that's his birthday. Monday, Michael Jordan. Maybe the worst actor, but a great basketball player.
Amen.
Tuesday, Space John Travolta. Good. I don't know about him. Kind of awful. And Wednesday, Cody's favorite celebrity.
Victoria Justice?
Or at least in the
really?
Top
it's
10.
Her birthday?
Yeah, no? On Wednesday.
Ah.
And she'll be turning 21, Cody.
Nice.
Hey, yeah. Cody, that's totally within dateable age for you.
Yeah.
For sure. Victoria Justice. I'm going to reach out to her on Twitter. Be like, hey, baby, you 21 now.
If you need a reference, I'll vouch for you.
Good.
Okay, so that's what's going on. And we're going to play one more song. And then we'll come back and talk about our first kiss. And the song is My First Kiss.
Oh.
My first kiss went a little like this. And twist. And twist. And twist.
I said, no more teachers and no more books. I got a kiss under the bleachers hoping that nobody looks. Lips like licorice, tongue like candy. Excuse me, miss, but can I get you out your purse?
In the back of the car, on the way to the bar, I got you on my lips.
I got you on my lips.
At the foot of the stairs, with my fingers in your hair, baby, this is it.
She won't ever get enough once she gets a little touch. If I had it my way, you know.
Kiss went a little like this.
I said no more sailors and no more soldiers. With your name in a heart tattooed up on the shoulders. This is like whiskey, it gets me drunk. And I wake up in the morning with the taste of your tongue.
In the back of the car, on the way to the bar, I got you on my lips.
I got you on my lips.
At the foot of the stairs, with my fingers in your hair, baby, this is it.
She gets a little touch. If I had it my way, you know that I'd make her say, ooh, ooh. She won't ever get enough. When she gets a little touch, if I had it my way, you know that I'd make her say, ooh, ooh. My first kiss went a little like this.
And speaking of first kisses, we're going to talk about that on our little dating subject. quick little, you know, talking about who was our first kiss. And I'll start out, Cody.
Please.
Okay. Young 15-year-old Riley. Aww. Things were looking good for him. He's going to drive soon, you know, just into high school. And what happens? We go to this big party. It's at this girl's house. She has a hayloft.
This has to be made up.
No. You know, I'll tell you.
You totally made out on her hayloft, didn't you? No,
I didn't say it was my first makeout.
So you inconsequentially mentioned her hayloft?
No. It wasn't the girl's hayloft. We were at someone's house, and there was a hayloft.
Okay.
And it was cool.
It's hay in a loft. Don't you have to, like, get it down at some point?
It's in West Kaysville.
It's a farmer thing.
It was like there's a bunch of hay, and there's a farm thing. I don't know what it's called, okay? Anyway, there's, like, fires and stuff, and we're hanging out. And we just talked, like, a long time, and we kissed. And when I turned 16, about 2 months later, I asked her out on a date. And by then, she had gotten shallow, but I still remember the girl she used to be.
Who was the girl she used to be?
I'm not going to use names.
Now,
a sweet, nice girl.
I'm going to ask the question that's on everyone's mind, Riley.
Yeah.
Tongue?
A little.
Tongue. Yeah!
And here's the thought that went in my head. I'm going to go for it. And I did.
Wonderful.
Attaboy, right? We should sandwich this flower pot. Up,
and
so I think
guess
you
who
next.
She ended up dating?
Who?
And don't say who it is, because you know who it is. My arch enemy.
No way.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
I hate him.
I feel so left out right
now.
You actually probably know him, so we'll tell you later.
Yep.
Excellent. Wait, so you wanted to sandwich this, so you go next, Cody?
No, sandwich go boy, girl, boy, girl.
Yeah. We're bread. You're cheese.
Yep. I'm cheese?
Grilled cheese sandwich. That's the only sandwich with one ingredient.
So my first kiss,
went a little like this.
So I lied about it for a long time. I actually came to college without having ever kissed anybody.
Whoa!
VL.
I was VL, but I lied about it. And then I was like, you know what? I want to get
this
stuff
taken care of. What's wrong with you? You're a good-looking
girl. Thank you.
Yeah, really. What is wrong with you?
Is it your personality?
It must be my personality.
It could be her hair.
It was this weird high. It's a ratchet hair day, Cody.
I'm
get
joking.
Out of here. But there was a boy that in high school, and it was weird. And there was a reason I didn't kiss anybody before I came to college. But continuing, so I was like, when I got here, I was like, I just want to get this over with. So it was the first true Aggie night. Yep.
Oh.
And
someone gave you a high five.
I had a friend, and she basically had all these other guys that were her friends.
There we go.
And she's just like, here, I'll just set you up with it. So we waited in line, went up and did the deed. And by did the deed,
I mean kiss.
Go become true Aggies via kiss. And it was awful. It was the worst kiss ever. I won't go into detail, but just know that certain things it was not. Not a good kiss.
So he's probably closely related to you.
The genetic reason. What went wrong?
Okay, well.
Because you. Rachel, don't take this the wrong way, but you have pretty kissable lips.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're full. They're,
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
They're not like a weird color.
No.
Thank you. His lips basically encircled mine. Yep.
So, like it was a straw?
Yeah, and I was just sitting there like,
that's a tough bid to pull off. Rachel's got big lips.
Yeah.
Big lips.
Rachel Big Lips Hilton.
Yep. Oh, new nickname.
Oh, okay. And Cody, bring us home.
15-year-old Cody. Living in Colorado at the time.
Oh, I know this. Okay, go.
Yeah, so I was moving away. I found out I was moving away, and I had this girl that we were both interested in each other since we were 12.
Summer loving.
Cute. I mean, the first girl I held hands with, the spark was really there. And then I told her one day, I was like, I'm moving away. The last day of school, I'm gone. And she said, this is how she reacted. I'm going to kiss you before that day. And we had plans that she would come here to go to school and we'd get married and stuff. So this kiss was really going to seal our relationship. So we ditched study hall one day.
You planned Rebel. A kiss?
Yes, of
now,
course.
Is this,
I was 15.
What grade are you in?
I'm a freshman. Ninth grade.
Okay.
So we ditched study hall. Neither of us drove, so we went across the street to this quaint little statue park in Loveland, Colorado. and walked around the park, sitting on different statues. One point we were up in a tree, and you know what? It took me 45 minutes to get up the courage to kiss her. And that's 45 minutes of her saying, "You can kiss me now." Remember
For
how
real?
We came over here to kiss me? Yeah, took me 45 minutes. So,
and
but I
has
did.
She moved up here?
What?
Did she move up here?
Yep. And then she got married. So, but we did still like stay close during high school, and she'd always come out for a week in the summer, and we'd
Make
go on
out.
A date, and yeah, exactly. But yeah, that was it. That was my first kiss.
Okay.
Courtney.
And to learn more about kissing and Rachel, go to True Aggie Night this week. And for Riley, this is me, and my catchphrase this week is, "Hey, put an egg on it."
An egg?
I froze. Keep going. I joked.
I'm Rachel, and instead of making up a phrase like "put an egg on it," I'm just gonna say, I don't have a catchphrase still. Good night.
And for Aggie Radio, Cody D.W. Scott saying, "Stay pretty, Logan City."
We're going to play it with a cool song, and Weird Socks is next. Aggie Radio, for the students, by the students.